You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that as kids, most of us, maybe even all of us, but I guess I can't really say that, at least most of us dream of meeting our pal Mickey. You know, hugging beautiful Cinderella, experiencing all of the magic and delight of Disney. Disney is a kid's dream. If we're lucky, we get to walk through those gates and ride the rides and live in a dream world for a day or two, maybe more. There are other places around the globe that also create that thrill of fantasy and frenzy and fun. Most of them have one person in common. That would be John Kasperowitz. John Kasperowitz has more than 30 years of experience in entertainment architecture. He is the owner and founder of XPA Experiential Architecture. Experiential architecture. I just love that. A design firm that conceives, designs, and plans destination attractions such as theme parks, casinos, cool hotels, museums, and such. You know, you've gone to a museum, and I know I have. I've looked around and thought, who does this? Who makes this? Who creates this? Well, that's John. Just a few of his many career highlights, include involvement in the design of Epcot, Knott's Berry Farm, and Legoland. His work has taken him all over the world, from Spain, Hong Kong, and Paris, to Malaysia, Korea, and Saudi Arabia. Most recently, he and his team have been collaborating on the tallest Ferris wheel in the world. In the world, he's going to be a record breaker, the High Roller, currently under construction in Las Vegas, from where he joins us by phone. Thank you for joining us, John Kasperowitz.
It's my pleasure, Brooke.
All right. So, in your own words, what is an experiential architect?
Well, a simple definition is that it's an architect who thinks more about creating a place and experience than just about creating a building. To me, I always think about what happens in between the buildings. You know, what happens when you're walking up to something, and you know, it's a whole sequence that we try to create where either overtly or covertly, there's a, you know, perhaps a story that's behind what's been created.
Wow. So that's creative. And how did you find your way to designing theme parks and casinos?
Well, I finished school. I went to Cal Poly in Pomona. Uh-huh. And
what was your major?
Architecture.
Okay.
And I figured that I should probably find a job in my field of study and not continue working in the liquor store.
I'm sure there's some perks there.
There was. So just by chance, through a friend and his father who worked at Disney, I was able to get an interview. And so my first professional job was, I wasn't an architect then, but my professional job was working at Disney.
Wow.
At Imagineering.
That's not too shabby.
But I was, when I first got there, actually, I always remember this. They took me on a tour, and I saw all these designers, and they're doing stuff, and there's beautiful renderings and models all over the place. I went home that day and told my wife not to get her hopes up, because they're going to figure out I can't do any of this stuff, and I'll be gone.
Well, I guess that's not what happened.
No, that's not what happened.
So you worked at Disney, Walt Disney Imagineering, and part of that, I see that that's where you worked on Epcot, yeah? What did you do with Epcot?
We actually I was on the team, it was a very small team that created the master plan and married the idea of a future world, which was Walt Disney's dream, is to create something like that. Married that with the concept of World Showcase, which were essentially pavilions of countries from around the world, almost like a world's fair.
Yeah. Now, I have to just cut through the chase. This sounds like the most fun job a person can have. I mean, right?
It is total fun. I feel lucky every day that I'm able to do this. And it's, you know, through the whole process, you meet so many interesting people. There's a tremendous collaboration that's involved. Many people probably think that an architect just sits there and alone and dreams up this stuff, and maybe many do. But in this field, it really takes a team of people that do different things to create you know, the experiences, the theme parks and all that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's, you know, obviously your designs are highly creative and may push boundaries of, you know, things like gravity and physics. So as the architect, do you have to keep it real as far as how this is going to get built? Or can you just do all the dreaming and play around and leave that to somebody else?
You know, that's a really good question, because I've always described the work that I do and my colleagues do as a mix of science, art, you know, technology, and you have to think about all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
There's mathematics involved in how you move people and, you know, and all that. But in the end, when it's all done, you shouldn't see any of that mechanics behind it.
Right. Make it look easy, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so you are also responsible in taking into consideration the engineering aspects as well then. Okay. Now, as an architect, I'm not necessarily familiar with an architectural degree. So it's not just, you know, the CAD system or whatever. You're also looking at the physics and weight and measurements and engineering and that kind of thing as well in your training.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, we need to look at all that. We need to at least conceptually understand that what we're designing can actually be built,
right.
That the structure will work. And also life and, you know, welfare and safety. We need to make sure that there's fire exits. And
yeah, all the practicality
all
stuff.
Things that are really necessary.
Now, so have you ever built any, or have you ever designed anything that you found out later just wasn't possible?
In my early days, yes. And so
and
were
you super bummed? Like, no, that's the best thing ever, and it won't happen. No.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't get the comment.
Oh, no, it was just, were you in your early days, when you
right.
found out something couldn't work, actually, you know what? Since those days, maybe technology has changed and you can bring those old designs back and start over.
I'll have to look at my archives. There may be a few things
that
could be done now.
They could be like the best things ever. Now, what kind of research, okay, just looking at some of the things that you've worked on, Disneyland Paris, the Children's Museum, is that COSI, C-O-S-I?
COSI, in
COSI,
Columbus.
Children's Museum, Legoland, oh my gosh, and then like Knott's Berry's Farm, oh, Tarzan's Treehouse, and Sleeping Beauty's Castle. You know, how do you research these things? What do you do? How do you get your inspiration?
A lot of research, and that's one of the perks of working in this part of the business, is that because it does require research, you get sent on trips to look at real castles, for instance. When we did the one at Disneyland Paris, we went out and traveled throughout Germany and France and other places to take pictures of castles and of details of castles, and then we used that as the inspiration.
That's fantastic. So but something that maybe doesn't exist already, like Tarzan's Treehouse or something. How do you go about designing something like that? Is it just basically just playing and doodling and having a good time? Like, where does that come from?
Yeah. You know, most of it, a lot of it comes from developing a story first.
Oh.
So you would sit around. We have what we call charrettes and kind of blue sky sessions where you just throw ideas out. No bad ideas. You just put stuff up on the wall. But all of it, in the end, stems from trying to tell some sort of story and how that then evolves into something physical.
Interesting. I love the storytelling aspect of it all. It's something that, you know, I guess I just wouldn't have necessarily presumed or thought about, but I can see how that would really help you sort of flesh out the ideas and make something not only fun, but also sort of somewhat believable in its
exactly.
fantastic kind of way.
You hit it on the head. That, if you have a story, then you can always go back to that as a point of reference. So if you want to do the main entrance sign, then you go back to the story and say, well, that's what the sign would look like. If you have characters that you've developed, then you would say, well, these characters would have built it this way for various reasons. The story is very important.
That's awesome.
That's one of the main things that I learned at Disney was the storytelling aspect of it.
Yeah. It makes so much sense now that I think about it. And what are the other tools of your trade besides the storytelling? Actually, you know, before I even go there, would you consider yourself maybe an actor in a certain way? Because you are creating these characters and building this world. That's what actors do. Do you think you could be on film?
actually, I was on film once. I was played an FBI agent in a movie with Dan Haggerty and but for some reason, they thought it looked like one.
I can sort of see that. Just grabbing the picture I took of you off of your website. I go there. Any plans to go back to the big screen?
No plans.
Well, you know, for what you do, it sounds like you've mentioned a couple of things that are necessary. Collaboration. Do you consider yourself a huge people person, or is it something you just sort of have adjusted for?
No, I love working with people and working in a team environment, getting the best out of people. And you never know where ideas will come from. That's why, you know, the collaboration is just really key to this, particularly if you get a mix of people, because we don't just invite designers on a team. There's writers, obviously. There's teachers sometimes. Depending on the project, there's somebody who has never designed anything, but they contribute a lot to the end product.
Wow, that's really cool. So you must meet people from all over the world.
Yeah, even radio broadcasters, and
mm-hmm.
We've used those.
Well, I'm always available, John.
Oh, yeah. Good to know. I'm going to make a note of that.
Now, okay, so what happens if you've got a project and it just, you know, it's a great one, it's a big one, you love it, you can't wait to get started, and somehow the ideas just aren't flowing, they're not coming. What do you do? How does that work?
Usually a shot of bourbon. But if that's not available, then, you stop thinking about it. You can start looking through books. I have a huge book collection. I love particularly books in architecture and art and design. So you just start flipping through things and, you know, talk to people, and then eventually something just pops up. I call it lateral thinking.
Oh, I like it.
The usual process for, I would say, conventional engineering and architecture is there's a beginning point and you just keep moving forward. Lateral thinking is that you can grab two ideas that by themselves don't relate to each other at all, but they can create something that's really interesting.
And when do you know you've got something good?
It's a gut feeling.
Gotcha.
But also, if you explain it to somebody and they laugh, then that always helps as well.
Gotcha. Okay, well, you know, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break. We are talking with John Kasperowitz. He is an experiential architect visiting with us from Las Vegas, where he is working on the world's tallest Ferris wheel. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to LancerRadio.org. Hello out there. This is Brooke Peterson streaming live on LancerRadio.org. You're listening to Suite Life. It is our premiere episode for the fall semester of 2013. Thank you for joining us. Today, we are talking to John Kasperowitz, who has more than 30 years of experience in entertainment architecture. That means he's the smarty pants who goes about making all those cool rides at theme parks and all the museums and the neat stuff that you go and visit in Las Vegas. I just visited Las Vegas for the first time recently, John. Are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
And I have to say, I'm sure you're not surprised to hear that one of the biggest parts about going to Las Vegas is just walking through all the casinos, and you had a hand in that.
I did on some of them. Some years ago, designed what it was known as Boomtown, now it's Silverton. A hand in the execution of Sunset Station, Monte Carlo Casino, and now we're I'm doing a lot of restaurants and just kind of interesting spaces in most of the bigger casinos.
So after 30 years of doing this, is there anything now that comes at you that just really gets you excited, or have you sort of been there, done that all around the world, or what gets you going now?
Wow, that's a hard question to answer. Each project is different from the last one. which is actually, that's one of the downsides in this business, from a business standpoint, is you don't repeat anything. So if you don't repeat anything, you have to start from scratch each time.
Interesting, yeah.
But that's the, you know, the exciting part for me is that each thing is very different from what you've done before, and different set of parameters, different requirements from clients, and all that. It becomes it's like making the pieces to a puzzle and then having to put it together.
Right, yeah. And how is the Ferris wheel going?
It's going well. It's on track to open early next year. It's a beautiful piece. I've been driving around town, and now you get to see it from all sorts of vantage points. It's really terrific.
Now, when you see, that's, you know, I have to imagine, and I can't imagine being wrong, so surprise me if I'm wrong, but I have to imagine that when you are just living your life, you know, in Las Vegas, doing your thing, and you happen to see this huge structure under construction that A, is going to completely change the skyline, and B, going to set a world record for, you know, in for what it is, you have to just have a sense of, I'd imagine, awe and just total pride, no?
I do. When I do see that, I'm just still amazed that, you know, I had a hand in that, and it's going up, being constructed, and it's going to look just beautiful. And you're right, it will change the skyline. So, you know, all those little icon graphics and things that you see in T-shirts, the skyline of Las Vegas, they're going to have to redo all those.
Yeah, and no more of those. Maybe they'll become very valuable now. Thanks, John. So when you go around the world, do you ever, this is a random question, when you're around the world and you're sort of visiting different places, do you ever stumble onto one of your constructions and are like, I did that? And maybe it's something you might have forgotten about 20 years ago or something. You're like, wow, I made this.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. I can't remember where, but there have been several times where I just turned a corner and I said, oh, this is where that went.
Oh, that's so cool. I mean, I that excites me. Like, that's just kind of neat. It's probably just old hat for you. It probably happens all the time.
Well, even just flipping through books, sometimes you'll find a picture of something that you did.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Now, what would you say, you mentioned one thing, being how things are always changing and you can never sort of refer back to what you've done, but what are some of the other challenges of what you do? I'm sure it's not all like fairy tales and like fun.
It is challenging. You know, part of it's an amusement park, let's say, or something, but in the end, it's also a business, so it needs to make some sort of profit for whoever is building and operating this thing. So the challenge is to predict how many people will come there each year and then be able to work backwards to create just the right size project. So it's not, it's like a Three Bears story, but so it's not too small where it won't be a good experience, and it's not too large where you've spent money needlessly that you didn't need to.
Yeah, so you're also responsible for basically the marketing research then, yeah?
Exactly, that's what it is. And we start with that story and marketing research, feasibility analysis. It's it's a bit scientific.
Yeah, I'm surprised that that's also under your domain, so you kind of do it all. Now, is that normal, or is that just your company, or is that just sort of what experiential architects are, expected to do?
It's expected within the industry that I'm in, within the theme design industry. So myself and my colleagues, everybody does that.
Now, okay, so let's just get to the nitty-gritty of the job.
Okay, I like nitty-gritty.
Okay, good. Are there a lot of jobs for experiential architects? Like, is it very competitive? What's the market like?
Right now, the market is really good for people with these skills, mostly because there's the large companies like Disney is doing Shanghai Disneyland, Universal Studios is building things, Paramount, all the big players are working. But also, there's a resurgence now in the Middle East, particularly in Dubai. During the past few years, they've kind of held back because of the whole, what are we calling it, the financial crisis.
Yeah.
But so now they're back, though, and you know they're actually talking about doing the world's tallest wheel as well.
No.
But
what?
It's a ways off because they have to build an island first.
Okay. Well, they can go ahead and do that then.
Right.
Wow. Ambitious.
Yeah, it is.
Now, so say you have all of these activities happening in Dubai and around the globe, actually, as it sounds. How many companies are vying for these contracts? Is it super competitive, or is there work for everybody at this point?
At this point, there's work for everybody, but I would say that there's of the more major companies, there's maybe a dozen at the most, maybe even less than that, who have, you know, the kind of experience and background like we do. And they're all friends of mine, you know, and we collaborate on projects together sometimes. Sometimes we compete.
Huh.
But there's work out there for this. I'm actually looking for a couple of people.
Oh, yeah? Oh, hear that, everybody? Send your resumes to xba.info. That's cool. So I think it's really interesting, you know, the idea of your competitors also being your collaborators, given the project, and then going back and forth. And obviously, it must have a really good working relationship to do that. Has that been tricky at times?
On a rare occasion, it has been, mostly because of perhaps some egos that may be involved, but generally, I think it all works well because we all have the same goal. You know, we want to create something that's really memorable for the customer, the general public. In fact, we usually tell the client that when they come to us is that we're not designing for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying us to do this, but our client actually are the folks that are going to come and
it's me
be in this place and use it.
Yeah. Now, and how do they take that?
Sometimes it takes a bit of explaining and for them to understand it, but you know, you're depending on other people to come in and spend money there, and so you need to please them first.
Right on. Makes sense to me. Of course, I'm not footing the bill, so I don't know.
Right.
But now, with all of your projects around the world, you know, from Spain to Saudi Arabia, how much traveling are you actually doing, or do you basically do everything from your home base and, you know, email the designs?
It's become a lot easier to be able to work from a home base, just in work progress. Obviously, the initial meetings, any kind of research, you would travel to the location. I just spent 10 days traveling through the Middle East with Saudi, Qatar, and Dubai. And it was really memorable. I got roped into dancing at a wedding in Saudi Arabia.
Nice. How'd it go?
Here's to prove it, unfortunately.
Does that mean you're in? Like, you were one of them now?
Oh, yeah. I was like an initiation thing.
That's cool. I mean, you must have a long list of really great stories just from being all of these countries that you've had to stay in. And when you go to these countries, are you there for like a week or, you know, 6 months?
Generally, it's about a week, you know, 5 days a week, sometimes 2 weeks. When the project is under construction, then you would probably spend more time there being the art director and kind of the keeper of the soul of the project. Once it gets into construction, there's, you know, all sorts of factors that come into play, particularly overseas, you know, different types of construction methods, and you have to be able to have backup plans sometimes for the things that you designed.
And a translator, I would imagine.
And a translator, yes.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the financial crisis. That was something I was thinking about as well. I mean, a lot of this kind of stuff seems like it's kind of, you know, discretionary funds for these theme parks and cool hotels and stuff. Was it a tough time in the past 5 years? And is it now changing? It sounds like it is. But how was the past 5 years?
Things got slow.
Yeah.
Not as bad as probably other sectors. You know, historically, we found that even in bad times, people still go to amusement parks, theme parks, and just things that, you know, divert their attention. there was just less work. You know, the major investments had pulled back to see what would happen.
Gotcha. Now, we're quickly wrapping up pretty soon. Any advice for anybody who is listening to you today and thinking, wow, that sounds super great, I want to get on board? Anything that you want to tell them they should know before they go down this path?
I think it's keep an open mind about things. Develop a sense of curiosity. Look at stuff. And It's an occupational hazard. I go out to dinner, and I'm always looking at things. And, you know, why is it like this? Does it work? Does it not work? But just, you know, observing, learn about culture or cultures around the world.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Kasperowitz. John Kasperowitz is the owner and founder of XBA Experiential Architecture, located in Las Vegas, the mecca of fantasy and immersive experiences. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Suite Life on LanserRadio.org.